بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 48th session, reading from Fath Al-Qawi Al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين. The explanation of the 50 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi and Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahumullah, and the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr hafidhahullah. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at hadith number 43. But before that, we're going to look at some of the issues that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for the previous lecture, number 47. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 42. The main topic? Naam, follow.
First cause of seeking forgiveness is making dua and asking Allah's forgiveness and doing acts of forgiveness.
Okay. Yani, from the causes of Allah's forgiveness is asking for His forgiveness. Asking for His forgiveness. Tayyib. Anybody else? Yani, the main topic or subject. Summary of the topic or subject. Okay, so, Fadl.
It was also proof of the vastness of Allah's forgiveness.
Okay, so, the general topic, it was, yani, the means or the ways of seeking forgiveness of Allah, or the vastness, the comprehensiveness of Allah's forgiveness and pardoning. Question number two, who is the rawi narrator of this hadith and the muhaddith in whose collection it is found? The rawi, the narrator of this hadith, and the collection in which it is found. The rawi. Who's the sahabi? Naam. Abdul Wali.
Anas
ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and the collection in which it was collected? It was reported in the Sunan of Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. The third question, how has the author explained what is meant by or included in maghfiratu dhunub? Yani, forgiveness of sins. What is meant by forgiveness of sins? What is included in forgiveness of sins? In summary, just brief. And what is meant by forgiveness of sins? Now.
That Allah covers
the person's sins from the people, so that people don't see it. Now.
And then He forgives them.
And then He forgives them so that they are not punished for it. So it includes, number one, covering, and it also includes Allah pardoning and forgiving so that a person is not punished for it. What is the first sabab, cause or means of maghfiratu dhunub, forgiveness of sins mentioned in this hadith? The first cause or means of forgiveness of sins mentioned in this hadith. Now, supplication. That a person supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and along with that, and has hope. And has hope. That a person has hope. Confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to respond and grant them forgiveness. Question number five. What is the second sabab? The second cause or means of maghfiratu dhunub, forgiveness of sins mentioned in this hadith. The second cause of forgiveness. Now.
To ask for forgiveness and make tawbah.
To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And at the same time, along with that, to make tawbah, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, question number six, what are the three essential elements of at-tawbah, repentance, mentioned by the author? Three essential elements of tawbah. Number one, and these are things that are essential for us to know. A Muslim is in need of repenting to Allah, and we need to know what are the essential elements of tawbah, without which it's not accepted. Now, number one. But a person has to stop. They have to leave the sin that they are doing. And if a person wants to repent, they have to stop doing it first. Two.
Remorse.
The remorse. That a person has to have remorse. They have to feel bad about what they have done. They have to actually feel like this was terrible. They stop it and they have to feel remorse for what they have done. And the third essential element the Shaykh mentions, now. That a person makes firm, they have a firm resolve for the future, that they are not going to go back to this by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number seven. Mention an additional element of tawbah. If the sin involves the rights of Allah, or if it involves the rights of the people. Naam. تفضل.
كفارة.
كفارة. يعني if it's that which involves the rights of Allah and there is a kafara attached to it, يعني meaning a means of expiation for it, then they have to do it. And if it's involved the rights of the people, go ahead.
If it involves the rights of the people, they still have to give the people back their house.
They have to return to the people their rights. يعني they have to rectify what they have done with the people, and or تحلل. يعني that they ask the person to pardon them, to free them from liability or responsibility for what they have done. How has the author, question made, how has the author explained the statement, every sin which is less than shirk is tahta mashiyatillah? First of all, what does it mean? What's the translation of tahta mashiyatillah? What is the translation of this statement? Just the translation. What do we mean when we say tahta mashiyatullah? Naam. It's under Allah's forgiveness. Okay. Naam. That's the literal meaning. Good. And it's subject, yani to the will of Allah. It's subject to the will of Allah. So what does that mean now? The answer to this question is, what does that mean when we say that every sin other than shirk is tahta mashiyatillah? Yani that it's subject to the will of Allah. Naam. Fadl.
Gives you a punishment for committing the sin.
It is up to Allah. Yani, it's according to Allah's will. If He wills, yani subject to the will of Allah, meaning if He wills, then He can punish that person justly. If He wills. And if He wills, He can pardon and forgive them. If He wills. Yani subject, naam, fadl. Naam. In the Quran where Allah mentions yani Isa alayhi salam saying to Allah, they are your ibad. So if you yani it's up to you if you want to punish them or not. Yani you may punish them or you may forgive them. Naam. So the meaning of tahta mashiyatullah, that Allah pardons whoever He wills, and He yani punishes whomever He wills. He may punish a person and admit them into the hellfire, except that the person who died upon Islam, they would not remain in the hellfire. Rather, they would be released from it, and they would enter the Jannah eventually. Question number 9, what is the third sabab, cause or means of maghfiratul dhunub, forgiveness of sins, mentioned in this hadith? The third thing that's mentioned in this hadith as a means of forgiveness of sins. The most important of them. Naam, fadl. Meeting Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah without having against you the sin of shirk. And that if a person committed shirk, that they repented from it before they died. And meeting Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah without having, yani to answer for shirk. Because this is the thing that is not forgiven if a person dies without repenting from it. The question here is, what is the means? The means is that a person yani establishes a tawheed, that they worship Allah with ikhlas, and that they don't meet Allah in Yawm al-Qiyamah having against them the sin of a shirk. The last question mentioned three of the fawaid, benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. Three of the benefits that the author derived from this hadith. Naam, Talib.
The vastness of Allah's bounty and forgiveness.
The vastness of Allah's bounty and forgiveness. Naam. That Allah's yani bounty, His kindness, His generosity, and His forgiveness is vast. Yani it's unlimited. Naam. Another benefit.
Oh, okay. So this is only for the people with tawheed, but
maybe
that's...
Okay. I mean, naam. That only the people of tawheed, yani only the people who died upon tawheed without shirk, yani will expect, yani will be entitled to Allah's forgiveness. Naam.
That it will be answered.
Naam, that from the means of forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that a person supplicates to Him and they actually believe. They yani have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. Naam.
Seeking forgiveness of Allah with
tawbah. Naam. Yani that from the means of any Allah's forgiveness is that a person ask him forgiveness along with repenting. Along with repenting from that act. Naam. Fadl.
Shirk is what is not forgiven less than it is under the will of Allah.
Yani shirk is the sin that is not forgiven if a person dies upon it. If they didn't repent from it. And anything less than that is subject to the will of Allah. Yani he punishes whoever he wills and he forgives whoever he wills. Keep it. Inshallah. And the last point that the Shaykh made, last benefit he said?
The virtue of not committing shirk.
The virtue. The virtue of not committing shirk. The virtue of ikhlas. And that it is by ikhlas that Allah yani expiates sins. Yani this is the main reason why Allah forgives person's sins is because of their ikhlas. Now, tonight we're going to be looking at hadith number 43. And just briefly, and just a word, the Shaykh's explanation of this hadith is mainly yani explaining the actual rules or yani how the inheritance is divided, who receives what. This is a subject that's not studied in one session, not even in 10 sessions, in months or maybe at least 1 year, maybe, you might study this subject. So obviously, it's not going to be possible for us to come out of here understanding all of these affairs. But the main thing is to have an idea that there is such a thing as the yani inheritance, rules, guidelines, shares, amounts, and so on, and who is to receive them. To know that this exists, and perhaps yani a person might find some interest in it, and actually take out some time to study it. It is a very, very important science from the sciences of Islam, and it is something that has been, for the most part, neglected or lost by most of the people, the overwhelming majority of the people, except the people of knowledge. Tayyib, so this hadith, al-hadith, al-thalithu wal-arba'una, the 43rd hadith, is an ibn Abbasin, رضي الله عنهما on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with both of them, him and his father. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he, that is Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said ألحقوا الفرائض بأهلها, يعني give the فرائض, the shares of inheritance that are prescribed in the Quran to those who are entitled to receive it. And he give those shares, their portions of the inheritance that are prescribed in the Quran, to those who are entitled to receive them. فَمَا أَبْقَتْ الْفَرَائِدْ فَلِأَوْلَى رَجُلٍ ذَكَرٍ. So whatever remains, yani after the people who are entitled to receive these shares of inheritance that are prescribed in the Quran, after they have received that, whatever is left, whatever remains, should be given to the closest male relative. Awla rajulun dhakarin, the closest male relative of the deceased. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And he gave these fara'id, these shares of inheritance that are prescribed in the Quran, to those who are entitled to receive them. And after that has been done, whatever remains should be given to the closest, to the nearest male relative of the deceased. And all of this, and he has rules and regulations and conditions and stipulations that are studied in the science of inheritance. The Shaykh, he divides this hadith into 5 points. The last point being the benefits that are derived from this hadith. The first point being an introduction to this hadith as being the first of the additional hadith that are added to what was collected by Al-Imam An-Nawawi. And then, yani, in between those 2 points, yani, he mentions many, many yani, points, facts, rules, whatever, yani, regulations that pertain to yani, how the wealth of the deceased is to be distributed according to Islam. I must admit that during the week I was concerned about whether or not I will actually read what the Shaykh has mentioned here because of the complexity of it for a person who hasn't studied it before. And I consulted with more than one person, and all of the people I consulted with told me don't read it. And I was also inclined not to read it, but I don't know, right now I feel like I need to read it. So please, and you bear with me patiently as I read through what the Shaykh has mentioned, and hopefully you will benefit from it in some kind of way, even if we have to go back to it, and maybe at some other time Allah may make it possible for us to study at least the basic fundamentals of the science of inheritance. So the Shaykh, he begins, point number one, هذا الحديث هو أول الحديث الثمانية التي زادها الحافظ ابن رجب رحمه الله. يعني this hadith, number 43, is the first of the 8 hadith which الحافظ ابن رجب رحمه الله has added as additional hadith to the 42 hadith collected by الإمام النووي. فأكمل العدة خمسين على ما جمعه الإمام النووي رحمه الله في الأحاديث الأربعين. So here الإمام ابن رجب رحمه الله has completed the number of hadith as 50. Along with that which has been collected by الإمام النووي رحمه الله in his 40 hadith. And he collected 42 hadith. And these 8 make it 50. Then the Shaykh says, يلاحظ أن الحافظ ابن رجب in the ذكري الذين رووا الحديث من الأئمة يؤبر بخرجه ويؤبر أيضا برواه وأما الإمام النووي فكان تعبيره برواه ولا فرق بين التعبيرين لأن معناهما واحد. And you note that الإمام ابن رجب when he mentions those who collected the hadith, yani the collectors of the hadith, those who have narrated the hadith in their books from amongst the imams, he uses the expression kharrajahu. When he says it is collected by, is reported by Bukhari or Muslim or whoever, he uses the expression kharrajahu, and he also sometimes says rawahu. As for al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he used the expression rawahu only. And there's no difference between these two expressions. رواه خرجه. There's no difference between the two expressions because the meaning of the two of them, the meaning of them is one. Yani is the same. The meaning is the same. So this is just a note. Yani that if a person sees this word خرجه, we didn't see that before. Same meaning as رواه, as al-Imam Nawawi use. The second point, هذا الحديث أصل في قسمة المواريث. المواريث. That this hadith is a foundation upon which, yani, we know the division of inheritance. It's a foundation, a fundamental that we rely upon in the distribution of wealth. والمراد بالفرائد الفرائد المقدرة في كتاب الله وهي ستة. So what is intended by al-fara'id in this hadith? Al-hiqu al-fara'id. What is intended by al-fara'id? He said, is al-fara'id al-muqaddara fi kitabillah. Yani those shares of inheritance that have been specified. Yani fixed amounts that have been mentioned in the Quran. That is what is intended by al-fara'id. And he said those fixed amounts are 6. Yani there are 6 amounts that are mentioned in the Quran as the portion that a person should receive of inheritance from the deceased that they are entitled to inherit from. He said there are 6. وَهِيَ الثُّلُثَانِ 2/3. Yani a person may get 2/3 of the inheritance, or a group, yani of, for example, sisters or daughters together may get 2/3. Or the second amount is 1/3. And the third amount is 1/6. 2/3, 1/3, 1/6. What becomes clear from that, what? Is that 2/3, half of it is 1/3, and half of 1/3 is 1/6. And also, the other three are, النصف one half, a rub, a quarter, one fourth, and a thumun, one eighth. And again, you can see that half of yani an-nus, half of it is a quarter, and half of a quarter is one eighth. These are the six amounts. If a person knows that, mashallah, they have something good to hold on to. That's easy. And you hold on to that. Yani, two-thirds, one-third, one-sixth. One-half, one-fourth, one-eighth. Those are the portions that are fixed, that are mentioned in the Qur'an for people who are entitled to receive, yani, fixed portions, as mentioned in the Qur'an. And then the Shaykh says that, يُقَالْ فِيهَا اِخْتِصَارًا, that you can also summarize these six portions in different ways. And he mentions, yani, two-thirds and one-half. Yani on one side, two-thirds, that's the biggest amount from that side, and one-half is the biggest amount from this side. And he said that you can say two-thirds and one-half, and then half of the two of them. And half of two-thirds is one-third, half of one-half is one-fourth, one-nisfu nisfihima, and a half of that, half of them. And you can say two-thirds and half of it is one-third, and half of that is one-sixth, and the same thing, one-half, half of it, and half of that half is one-fourth and one-eighth. So he mentions different ways that it can be explained. I don't know, and he's still going to come back to the same thing, right? So perhaps Allah, yani, suffice us with that. And he explained it can be done other ways, and you can say this number, these two numbers, and double them, and or the middle number, double them, and half of them, or like this. Many different ways to explain the same thing. What you come out with is two-thirds, one-third, one-sixth. One-half, one-fourth, one-eighth. These are the six fixed portions that are mentioned in the Quran. Then the Shaykh goes back to what he said before, al-murad bil-fara'id. What is intended by fara'id? He said that what is intended by fara'id are the fixed amounts that are mentioned in the Quran, and they are six. And then he mentioned those six things. He went back now to complete what he was saying. And he says, وَالْمُرَادْ الْفُرُودْ الْمُقَدَّرَةِ وَمَا جَاءَ مَعَهَا فِي الْقُرْآنِ مِنَ الْإِرْثِ بِغَيْرِ تَقْدِيرٍ فِي حَالِ اجْتِمَاعِ الْأَوْلَادِ وَالْإِخْوَى لِغَيْرِ So now he's completing the definition or the statement of what is intended by fara'id in this hadith. Give the fara'id to those who are entitled to receive them, yani the obligatory fixed shares that are prescribed in the Quran, and whatever remains, and it goes to the nearest or the closest male relative. So what is intended by fara'id in this hadith is two things. Number one, al-furud al-muqaddara, yani those fixed portions that are mentioned in the Quran, six of them that we just mentioned, and wama ja'a ma'aha, and also what came with it in the Quran, from the inheritance that is بِغَيْرِ تَقْدِيرٍ, that's not fixed. Yani there are other people who inherit, but their amount is not fixed. It may sometimes increase, and it may sometimes decrease, and sometimes they will get nothing. So it's not fixed. These people who get these six portions, theirs are fixed. The others, sometimes they may get more, they may get less, or they may not get anything. Okay, and that's the second half of what is intended by this hadith. Give the people what they are entitled to. The fara'id means those fixed portions, and other people who don't have fixed portions, but they are also entitled to receive something. It may be more or less depending on the combinations of who they are, yani, left behind with. Yani, whoever is left behind from the deceased. He says, fi hal ijtima'in, when people are gathered together, whether they are awlad, yani children, yani sons and daughters, or they are ikhwa li ghayri لِغَيْرِهُمْ. يعني إِخْوَ لِغَيْرِهُمْ means brothers who are not the brothers from the same mother. They are brothers from the same father, or brothers from the same father and mother. So when they come together with others, sometimes their portion may increase or decrease, or they may not get anything. So what is intended by al-fara'id is the fixed portions that are mentioned in the Quran and what came along with them. Because in the Quran there are mention of other people who yani may be attached with or accompanying those who have fixed portions, and therefore they'll also get something more or less, or sometimes they get left out. So this requires some explanation and some discussion, and we might see some of the examples that the Shaykh gives here. There are a lot, yani most of the explanation are these yani cases of how much whoever gets what. So the Shaykh, he begins, and let me just say here, yani just to give us a broad overview, that he mentions first the awlad, yani the children, the daughters and sons. And then after that he mentions the ikhwa, Yani brothers and sisters, whether they are yani brothers and sisters from the same mother or from the same father or from the same whatever, he mentions brothers and sisters. Then he talks about al-abwan, the parents, the father and mother. Then he talks about the ikhwa li-um, yani those brothers who their relationship to one another is that they have the same mother, yani as opposed to those who have the same father or those who have the same mother and father. And they have a special ruling. Those who are, yani, brothers from the same mother. And then finally he talks about al-zawjain, the spouse, husband and wife. Okay, so first he talks about the children, then he talks about brothers and sisters, then he talks about parents, and then he talks about, yani, those brothers or sisters who have the same mother, and then he talks about spouse, husband and wife. Alright? So, all of this, yani, is quite detailed as I mentioned, and I hope that you will forgive me and be patient with me from reading this, but I just, yani, that's my normal procedure. If I do a book, I try to read the whole book, and I don't normally leave anything out, not even one paragraph or one sentence. So I just feel inclined to read it, even though I know that it may require some patience to sit with it. And you try to benefit as best you can. As far as the awlad, the children of the deceased, which includes sons and daughters. Which includes sons and daughters. So when the children are gathered together, yani there's more than one of them. If they were males and females, children, yani sons and daughters, فَلِلْذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَذِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ then the male will have a share that's equal to the portion of two females. So that's a rule in this particular case. When sons and daughters are left behind by the deceased, then the male will get two portions, yani the portion of two females. That's if they are sons and daughters. If they are إِنَاثًا لَا ذُكُورُ مَعَهُنَّ if they are just daughters, without any sons, just daughters left behind. And all of this is talking about children, right? Now we're talking about just daughters. They're only girls. There are no sons. Then, if they are two or more, they get two-thirds of the inheritance, of whatever was left behind. If they are two or more. If there is only one daughter, then she gets a half. If there's only one daughter, she gets half. What's important here is that any these are specified portions. And there are conditions or considerations. If she's just a daughter left behind by herself, then she gets half. But if she has a sister, yani there are two daughters, or three or four or more, then they get more than half. They get two-thirds to share amongst them equally. And these are rules that yani take time to learn, right? But this is how it came. This, that one daughter gets a half, or two or more gets two-thirds, this is if they were of the same degree, daraja wahida. Like they were all daughters of the deceased. Or they were daughters of the sons. Yani they were the daughter of a son of the deceased. Yani means a granddaughter, but from the son. That's one degree. And if they're all granddaughters from the son, they're equal. If they are all daughters of the deceased, they are equal. This rule that we just mentioned is in reference if they are all equal, of the same degree. Meaning, that if they were of different degrees, a daughter and a granddaughter, they are not equal. That's a different degree. A daughter and a granddaughter, they are not equal. Daughters are equal, granddaughters are equal, daughters and granddaughters are not equal. So if they are of the same degree, it's like this. If there's two or more, they get two-thirds. If there's one, she gets half. That's the rule. Then he says, so if they are of two different degrees, and the daughters are two or more, then the granddaughter from the son, and if the daughter of the son of the deceased, doesn't get anything. If they are, yani two different degrees, yani daughters, and a granddaughter. The granddaughter doesn't get anything. The daughters, two or more, yani, they prohibit the granddaughter from anything. And this is because two or more of them get what? Two-thirds. And that's the complete amount that daughters can get. So granddaughter can't get anything in there from that. وإن كان بنت واحدة فلها نصف. But again, if it is just one daughter, then she gets يعني half. If there's only one daughter, she gets half, right? So there's still something left from the total amount of the two-thirds that they could get if they were two or more. In this case, since there's only one daughter and she only got half, there's still something left from the two-thirds, so the granddaughter, the daughter of the son, gets that which is remaining, which is one-sixth. Now she can get something. But if there were two or more and they completed the two-thirds, khalas, nobody else, there's nothing left for anybody else. And this sixth that the granddaughter would get completes the two-thirds that the daughters are entitled to. Let me just stop here and say, and he says here, this is confirmed. Yani this amount for the granddaughter in that situation of one daughter is confirmed in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, reported by Al-Bukhari, hadith number 6736. I want to stop here and say what? That all of these details, though they might seem quite complex, are important so that the rights of people are not lost. Not even a little bit of it. It's very specific. So that people's rights are not lost. This is not haphazard. This is exact and precise. Now, after that, he goes to continuing with the children. We talked about daughters. We're going to talk about what? Sons. أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَ الْأَوْلَادُ ذُكُورًا خُلَّصًا. But if they were all sons, no daughters involved, even if they were the direct sons of the deceased or grandsons in the absence of sons, and if they are only males left, no girls, even if they are sons or grandsons, but grandsons only come into play what? If there are no sons. If the sons are there, khalas, grandsons don't have anything. But if there are no sons, then the grandsons now get a chance to get in. So one from amongst them, if there's only one, whether it's a son or in the absence of sons, a grandson, if there's only one, he gets all of the inheritance. All of it. A group of them share it equally, equal shares. If there's more than one, they share the inheritance equally. If they're only sons, they share the whole of it equally. He says the same thing can be said about the inheritance of brothers. Now we're going to brothers. Okay, we finished with children, sons and daughters. Now he goes to brothers. The same thing can be said about the inheritance of brothers who have the same mother and father. Ashiqqa. Yani shaqiq. They have the same mother and father. And brothers who have the same father. So here he's separating three types of brothers. Brothers that have the same mother and father. Brothers that have the same father, but not the same mother. And then later on he's going to talk about brothers who have the same mother. So there are three types of brothers. Shaqiq, same mother and father. Or the brother who just has the same father, or the brother who has the same mother. Here he's mentioning those who have the same father and mother, and those who have the same father together. And the third category he's going to leave till later on. So he said you can say the same about the brothers who have the same mother and father, and those who have the same father. What has been said concerning the inheritance of the children, that is, تقديم الإخوة الأشقاء على الإخوة لأب. That is, that those who are shaqiq, who have the same mother and father, have preference and precedence over those who have the same father. It's possible that they can share, or if not, then those who have the same father and mother rule out the others who have just the same father. And if the precedence is given to what? The strength of the relationship, that these have the same father and mother, as opposed to the one who only has the same father. So in this case, yani the brothers, they will divide up, yani the males, they will divide up the inheritance equally, equal shares. Brothers will share equally. That is, the brothers who have the same father and mother. If they are absent, then those who have the same father come in, and they will share equally. And just like the granddaughter may not be in the picture, unless there's something left for her, here the precedence is given to the brothers who have the same father and mother. If they are absent, then the brothers who have the same father, they came next. And they'll take, they'll share equally whatever is left. If they are brothers, and sisters, male and female, then the rule that we mentioned before is, for the male, is the share of two females. There are brothers and sisters left behind, it's divided up according to how many they are, and into shares that can be evenly divided, 2 shares for each male, 1 share for each female. 1 from amongst them, from the females, if there's only 1, yani, sister, and nobody else is there, she gets half of the inheritance. And by the way, yani, whatever is left, when there's something left, then there are other people. Yani, who didn't have a fixed amount mentioned here, then they, yani, that's the second part of the hadith, whatever remains after the people who got the faraid, fixed amounts, whatever remains, go to the nearest male relative. Whatever is left, there's only 1 daughter, she gets half, what's left goes to the nearest male relatives. الواحد منهما لها النصف والاثنان فأكثر لهما الثلثان. So if there's only 1 daughter, no males, there's only 1 daughter, she gets half. If there are 2 or more, they get 2/3. What's left after that half or after that 2/3 goes to the nearest male relative. That's called ta'asib. And those who get what's left after the people who have fixed portions get theirs, then whatever is left goes to the nearest male relative. The inheritance of the brother who has the brothers who have the same father is like the inheritance of the brothers who have the same father and mother. If brothers who have the same father and mother are not present, there are no brothers from the same father and mother. The only thing are brothers who have the same father, then the same thing applies to them that we said about the brothers who have, but only if the brothers who have the same father and mother are absent. And they are not there. There are no brothers with the same father and mother. The only people who are remaining after the deceased are brothers who have the same father. Then they get the same rule as what we said about the brothers who have the same father and mother. If there is a sister who has the same father and mother, أخت شقيقة, a sister, one sister who has the same father and mother, she's the only one left, she gets half, and the rest goes to the nearest male relative. That's the sister who has the same father and mother. And she's from the same father and mother. Well, الأخوات لأب, but if there are sisters who have the same father, but not the same mother, the sister who took half what's left from their portion of 2/3 goes to the sisters who have the same father. And if they get 1/6 to complete the 2/3 that the daughters got, and here that the sisters get. If they're 1, they get a half. If they're 2 or more, they get 2/3. If something is left, somebody only got half, then the 6 that's left will go to the next group of people. Yani, before it was the daughters and granddaughters, the granddaughter will get that 6 that's left. Here's the sisters who have the same mother and father. What's left will go to the sister who has the same father. Sisters who have the same father. And it doesn't matter if they're many or 1 or many. Whatever remains, that 1/6, goes to the sisters who have the same father. Whatever is left, that 6, if there's 1, she gets it. If there's more than 1, they share it. Finish with the brothers and sisters. Now we're going to the abawan, the parents, father and mother. The Shaykh gives some details about father and mother. Person dies, their father and mother is still living. And if the child died, the father and mother is still living. Every one of them gets a 6. The father gets a 6, the mother gets a 6. That is, if the deceased had a child. The person who died has a child, their father and mother get a 6 each. They're limited to a 6 because the deceased has a child who's going to inherit from him. If that child is a female, then the father takes that which remains. If the child is a female, there's something remaining, there will be 1/6 remaining, the father gets that. Yani from the second way of inheritance, that is ta'asib. Yani those who get what remains. So the father gets a 6, the mother gets a 6. If there's something remaining from the child, because the child is a female, then what remains goes to the father. Extra. He got a 6, now he got an extra 6. And of course the details of this require some explanation, and this is not the time for that, right? This is just to get the idea of what is happening here. If the deceased didn't have a child, but who's left is what? Who's left? Mother and father, parents. Then the mother takes a 1/3. There are no children to take anything. The mother takes a 1/3. And the father takes the remainder. That is, unless there's a special case here, there's a special case, yani where the parents, or the person doesn't have any children, but their parents are there. If there's with the parents, one of the spouse, yani the deceased person left also a wife. He left a wife, or she left a husband. So the parents and the spouse remains, husband or wife. In that case, the mother takes a third of what remains after what the spouse gets. Yani the spouse, if it's a man, he gets one half. If it's a woman, she gets one fourth. So after the spouse gets their one half or one fourth, whether it's a husband or a wife, what remains, the mother gets one third of what remains. Here she doesn't get one third of the whole thing, she gets one third of what remains after the spouse takes their, yani the husband takes a half or the wife takes a fourth. Allahu Akbar. And this is called, yani this particular case like this is called, yani, or this situation is called, yani, al-mas'alatayn al-umariyatayn. Al-mas'alatayn al-umariyatayn. Yani, and this is because this particular ruling that's mentioned here was the ruling that was judged by Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. This is how he, and he decided this type of affair. Continuing with the parents, if the deceased has brothers, whether they're from the same mother and father, or from the same father, or from the same mother, if the deceased has brothers, then the inheritance of the mother will be 1/6. Then the inheritance of the mother will be 1/6. Yani, instead of, if the deceased didn't have any child, then the mother would get 1/3. Here, there's no child but they are brothers, so she only gets 1/6. The grandfather, yani who is the father's father, not the mother's father, the grandfather who is the father of the father, he inherits in the absence of the father. If the father is not there, yani the mother is present but the father is not there, then the grandfather takes the place of the father, and the grandmother also inherits in the place of the mother, in the absence of the mother. Yani 1/6. And it doesn't matter if this grandmother is from the mother's side or from the father's side. The grandmother will get 1/6 in the absence of the mother. And if there are grandmothers, more than one, and they're all entitled to inherit, then they will share 1/6. Okay, then the sheikh goes to the brothers who have the same mother. Yani we already talked about the brothers who have the same mother and father, and the brothers who have the same father. Here he's talking about the brother who has the same brothers who have the same mother. And here he means by brothers, he means brothers or sisters who have the same mother. Yani siblings, male or female, having the same mother. The inheritance of one of them is 1/6. This is brothers who have the same mother, or sisters who have the same mother. If there's only one of them, they get 1/6. And that is, if the deceased person didn't have a child who is entitled to inherit, or a male yani parent, their father, who is entitled to inherit. If they didn't have a child or a parent, then the brother, yani one brother who has the same mother, yani will get a 6. If there are more than one, doesn't matter, yani, even if they are all males or all females or males and females, if they are more than one, then they will share equally in 1/3. They will share equally in 1/3. These are what? The brothers or the sisters who have the same mother. And here, note, he says, there's no difference between the males and the females here. It's not the male gets the portion of two females. They share equally. That's in reference to what? Brothers or sisters who have the same mother. Then finally he goes to, and Allahu A'lam, but any perhaps we're not going to have a lot more time, but in any case, Babas. Now we go to the Zawjain, yani we did the parents, we did the children, we did the brothers. So all sides of, yani blood relations, the parents, the children, and the siblings, he already discussed. Now he's talking about, yani spouse, husband or wife. And this is brief. As far as the inheritance of the husband and wife, so the husband gets 1/2 if the deceased doesn't have a child that inherits, that's entitled to inherit. Then the husband gets 1/2. Yani a man, his wife dies, he gets one half. If his wife doesn't have any children remaining, he gets one half. But if the wife has children, then his half is cut in half. He gets one fourth. The husband. As far as the wife, she initially gets one fourth. If the deceased doesn't have a child that's entitled to inherit, and if there's a child present, then she gets half of that fourth, which is one eighth. So the spouse, husband or wife, either gets what? One half or one fourth for the husband, depending on if there's a child, and the yani wife gets one fourth or one eighth, depending on whether or not there's a child. So these are the categories that yani have fixed portions and those who are connected to them and how yani they work with each other. The Shaykh completes this second point, which is the main yani part of this discussion. He completes it by saying that Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in his yani Kitabih al-Aziz Qismat al-Mawarith fi thalathati ayat, fi thalathi ayat. Yani that Allah has mentioned in his book, I don't know how do I translate Kitab al-Aziz, his mighty book, the division of inheritance in three ayats in the Quran. That's it. The rules, the foundations of inheritance, of all of this information, Allah mentioned in three ayats in the Quran. All of them in Surah An-Nisa. The first ayat is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ, that Allah has and He given you instruction concerning your children. In that ayat, He says, this, there's the mention of مِرَاث الْعَمُودَي النَّسَبْ, yani the two foundations of, yani the two pillars of blood relations. That is, أُصُول الْمَيِّتْ وَفُرُوعِ وَالْفُرُوعِ, yani the أُصُول, yani meaning the parents, and the furu, the children. In that ayat, the inheritance of parents and children are mentioned. In that one ayat. And this ayat is in Surah An-Nisa, the 11th ayat. Well, ayat al-thaniya, which is the very next ayat, Surah An-Nisa, the 12th ayat, the ayat al-thaniya, وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ, and Allah says, and for you is half of what was left by your spouses. Yani meaning this is for the husband who gets one half if there's no children and one fourth if there are children. In this ayat, He says this ayat covers the mirath of the zawjaini. وَالْإِخْوَ لِأُمْ, it covers the inheritance for the spouse, husband or wife, and it also covers the brothers or sisters, brothers and sisters who have the same mother. Okay, remember we separated, the brothers and sisters have the same mother, and the brothers and sisters have the same mother and father are the same father. In this ayah, the spouses are covered and the brothers have the same mother. Well, ayat al-thalitha, قول الله تعالى في آخر آية من سورة النساء, and the last ayah of سورة النساء, I think it's 176 maybe. Anyway, it's the last ayat. I don't remember the number. I should have wrote it down. I think it's 176. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْتَفْتُونَكَ قُلِ اللَّهُ يَفْتِيكُمْ فِي الْكَلَالَةِ, yani they are asking you for a ruling, and Allah say that Allah has given them the ruling concerning al-kalala, yani the person who died and he doesn't have usul or furu, he doesn't have parents or children left behind. And there are some people who are left behind, who are from amongst those who are entitled to the prescribed, one of those six prescribed shares that are mentioned in the Quran. This is a special case. This case, He said, is dealing with the mirath of al-ikhwa, al-ashiqqa wal-ikhwa li-ab, yani the brothers and sisters of the same mother and father, and the brothers and sisters who have the same father. And the brothers and sisters of the same mother is mentioned in the second ayah, the previous ayah. So here the Shaykh is saying, the foundations of the laws of inheritance, this detailed, complex science that is exact and precise, and to make sure, by the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every person who is entitled to receive inheritance, that they're going to get exactly what is due to them. Allah mentions the foundations of it in three ayahs in the Quran. So perhaps at some point in the future, the tafsir of these ayats are going to be studied in our tafsir class on Mondays. Allahu a'lam, maybe, I mean, it's possible, right? That means you're going to have to come here on Mondays too to finish this. I'm not just making this up. I'm saying perhaps it's possible. It's really possible. Okay, I think we're out of time, right? I have 50 minutes since we started the class, so maybe we can take 10 more minutes? Play. It was 176? Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. Tayyib, mashallah, mashallah. So the third point the Shaykh mentions, from what has preceded, it becomes clear these following points that he wants to make now. From what has preceded, we can make some conclusions. So from what has preceded, it becomes clear that al-abna, the sons, and the abna al-abna, and grandsons. Sons and grandsons, males we're talking about. Even if it goes lower than that, great-grandsons and so on. If they have with them females, then they will share. Yani meaning, daughters, granddaughters, or less than or lower than that, right? If they have with them females, then they will share in the inheritance. Meaning the male will get the portion of two females. And likewise for brothers, whether they're brothers who have the same father and mother or brothers who have the same father, these two categories go together, right? If they have with them sisters who have the same father and mother or sisters who have the same father, then the rule is what? The male will get the share of two females. Yani that is clear from what we mentioned previously. أما أبناء الإخوة لأم, as far as the sons of brothers who have the same mother, the sons of those brothers who have the same mother, جزاك الله خير. As far as those, يعني sons of brothers who have the same mother, they have no portion of the inheritance. As far as the sons of brothers who have the same mother and father, or who have the same father, and likewise, uncles, yani fathers, brothers, even if you go up like great uncles and so on, or the sons of the uncles, sons and sons of the uncles going down. Here we're talking about what? We're talking about the sons of brothers of the same mother and father, or the same father. And uncles, yani father's brother. And the sons of those uncles, sons of the father's brothers. فَإِنَّ ذُكُورَهُمْ يَسْتَقِلُّونَ بِالْمِرَاثِ عَنْ أَخْوَاتِهِمْ Yani females don't share with them. If they are the only people left, then they take all of it. Females are not going to share with them. Meaning females, meaning yani daughters of brothers who have the same father, mother, or the same father, and so on like this. The females are not going to share with them. And that's because the females from amongst this group of people, they don't have any prescribed amount. If they are alone, let alone if they are with people who have some fixed portions. So in this case, yani whatever remains is exclusively for the males from amongst them. And this is because of the hadith under discussion where the Prophet ﷺ said, give the prescribed portions that are mentioned in the Quran to those who are entitled to it, who have prescribed portions. The girls in this case, they don't have a prescribed portion. Give the prescribed portion to those who are entitled to it, and whatever remains after that is for the nearest male relatives. And then the Shaykh says, in closing this point number three, if the deceased has a daughter or daughters or sisters who have the same mother and father, one or more, and he also has a brother who has the same father. Yani the deceased has daughters or sisters who have the same mother and father, one or more, or he has brothers from the same father. فَإِنَّ الْإِخْوَ لِأَبْ لَا يَرِثُونَ In this case, the brothers who have the same father don't get anything. Meaning the women take it this time. And this reminds us that there are lots of cases in which women get more than men. And even though we have this rule, there are lots of cases in which women get more than the men. There are cases where they get the same as men, which we mentioned already. And there are cases where the men get nothing, like this right here. So in case somebody imagines that the male get two portions of one woman, not in every case. Those are the cases where that's mentioned. Otherwise, they might get equal, or the men might get nothing. This is by Allah's divine wisdom. He has made it exact and precise. And it's perfect, it's divine from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not man-made laws by the state, the federal government, or somebody else. Yeah, so then he says, نعم. وَإِذَا كَانَ لِلْمَيِّتْ بِنْتْ أَوْ بَنَاتْ. So if the deceased has a daughter or daughters, or a sister or sisters who have the same mother and father, and he has brothers who have the same father. Oh, we said that already. This brother who has the same father, he doesn't inherit anything. In this case, the sister or sisters who have the same father and mother, they get that which is extra over and above that which is prescribed for the daughters. Yani, whatever is prescribed for the daughters, they get first. Sisters are second in line. So those sisters will get whatever is left over. Yani, ta'asiban, meaning like whatever is left is supposed to go to the near male relative. This is an exception to that rule. Here it goes to the nearest female. The sisters who have the same father and mother. One or more of them. And this is confirmed in the Sunnah of the Prophet. It's mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari 6741 and 6742. So this is an exception to the hadith, yani under discussion, give to the yani the prescribed portions that are prescribed in the Quran to the people who are entitled to it, and whatever remains goes to the nearest male relative. This is an exception to that. And that's because the shiqiqat, the sisters who have the same father and mother, are nearer to the deceased than brothers who have the same father. Those sisters are nearer than those brothers. And therefore, Allah has made an exception for this. And this time the male doesn't get anything, rather the females get it. And the last, the fourth point, and before we go to the benefits derived from this hadith, the Shaykh says, and in reference to this hadith, he says that if anything is remaining, فَلِي أَوْلَى رَجُلٍ ذَكَرٍ. It's for the nearest rajul, man, ذَكَر, who is a male. All men are males, right? What's the point? The Shaykh says, the benefit of the mention, ذِكْرُ الذَّكْرُ بَعْدَ الرَّجُلُ, the reason why, the benefit why Allah mentions male after man, because a man is a male, right? In the saying, فَلِأَوْلَى رَجُلٌ ذَكَرٍ أَنَّ الرَّجُلُ هُوَ الَّذِي يَكُونُ كَبِيرًا وَفِيهِ نَجْدًا وَقُوَّةً فَأُضِيفُ إِلَيْهِ love ذكر لبيان أن المراث منوط بالذكورة أن المراث منوط بالذكورة لا بالرجولة وقوة فيستوي في ذلك من يكون كبيرا جدا ومن يكون صغيرا جدا. يعني the point here is what? That the Shaykh is saying the man, يعني رجل, is the one who is in age, كبير, يعني not a child, and who has strength or courage and bravery and quwwah. So here the Prophet ﷺ has adjoined to rajul the word dhakr to clarify that the inheritance is conditional or dependent upon masculinity, dhukura, not rujula, that a person has to be a grown man or strong or brave. Rather, the male is connected to yani masculinity, not to, you know, being male, masculine, not necessarily being a man or being strong. And in this way, the one who is big, even old, very old, and the one who is young, even very young, they are equally entitled to inheritance. And it doesn't mean rajul, it's only going to be a grown man who's strong, who's brave, who's courageous. No, it can be a male, even if it's a small child, or an old man who's old and yani, whatever, right? No, put any more description on it. It's bad enough that he's old, right? There's some more to that we want to add to this discussion. Inshallah, next week we'll look at it again. From the benefits of this hadith, the Shaykh mentions five. How much time for the Iqamah? 7 minutes? Okay, so we'll just finish what the Shaykh has mentioned here. And there are some other notes that are really, really important. Inshallah, we're not going to lose them. But Allahu Musta'an. Okay, from the benefits of this hadith, Allahumma staan. Okay, I'm going to save the benefits for next week. Just so that you can answer the questionnaire study guide. There's some questions here that we didn't mention yet. We're going to do the benefits next week. From the things that we need to know about inheritance, what's mentioned in many of the books of fiqh, that whatever has been left behind by the deceased, if a person dies and they leave something behind, the first thing that money should be spent on is the preparation of the deceased for their funeral and their burial. That's the first thing. The second thing, if they have any debt, their debt has to be paid. And the third thing, if they made a wasiyah, a bequeath, and if that's not more than one third of their wealth, then that has to be taken care of, and then whatever is left is distributed according to what we've been talking about tonight. Like first, what has to be done? Preparation. The money has to be spent on preparing them for burial. Second, any debts. Third, any bequeaths. The next issue is the reasons why a person can inherit is number one, nasab, that they have blood relations. Number two, and nikah, yani marriage relations. And number three, al-wala, yani that somebody has freed somebody from slavery. They have a relationship of the one who freed somebody from slavery, and the things that prohibit someone from receiving inheritance is killing. That a person has killed somebody to get the inheritance, or ikhtilaf ad-deen, any person has a different deen. A Muslim cannot inherit from their mother, or their father, or their brother, or their sister, or their child, that is not a Muslim. And that non-Muslim cannot inherit from a Muslim. And the third thing is a riq, yani that a person is in slavery. The slave doesn't own anything, he's owned by somebody, they cannot inherit. Now, I mean, that's all that we can mention tonight. And then next week, inshallah, we're going to look at the benefits from this hadith. And we're going to also look at some discussion, general discussion about inheritance. Some general discussion about inheritance, and then and then we'll suffice with that. Yani, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. May Allah yani bless you and reward you for your patience in sitting through this, I know, quite difficult thing. All I can say is that this is something that we need to know. Somebody needs to know it. People are dying. People are leaving something behind. What is happening with it? I can say that in the past 10 years, I've only had 3 or 4 people, and one of them wasn't even in America, ask to help to divide the inheritance from their deceased according to Islamic laws. In 10 years, 3 or 4 people have asked the question about how to divide the inheritance. What are we doing then? And unless somebody knows this, and there are not many people who know it, unless they are scholars or people of knowledge or students of knowledge, what are we doing with our inheritance? And what are we doing with what people are leaving behind? This is very, very important. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadun la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any questions about what we discussed tonight, we can have some questions after the salat. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Unless, Imam, do you have any comment you want to make before we close? When I say comment, I mean correction. Anybody else? Tayyib, questions after the salat. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadun la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.